Podcast Viewfinder.
Holiness is always tied to little gestures. These little gestures are those we learn at home, in the family. They get lost amid all the other things we do, yet they do make each day different. They are the quiet things done by mothers and grandmothers, by fathers and grandfathers, by children. They are little signs of tenderness, affection, and compassion. Hey everybody, I'm Chris.
And I'm James.
And you're listening to Podcast Viewfinder, episode 26.
26.
Do you know what that means?
No.
26 weeks. What's 26 plus 26?
It's 40.
52.
52. 6, yeah, 6, no. 12, 2, carry 1, 4, 2, 2, 4, man, 5. How did 52. You do that? That's amazing. Right. You must use a calculator.
Nope. So 52 weeks, that means this is the half of a year episode.
So if you're still listening, guys, you've been with us for a half year. I want to know how many people started at number one. Like, who's our loyal
who's
fan
listened
base?
To all of them? So we have a new listener this week. Or he left us some feedback, which I'll read in a minute. Ooh. But he has some comments. We'll get to those in a minute. But I want to talk about, okay, so that quote, that opening quote was from Pope Francis, who was in America. Are you a big fan of the France? Yes. A big fan of the Fran, is what I was going to say.
I don't know enough Pope about Francis. Him. I mean, I like him as a person, I guess. He's cool. Everybody else likes him. You know, if everyone else likes him, I don't like him because I'm not... I don't follow
you don't jump on the bandwagon?
Yeah, I'm hipster.
Oh, yeah. Well, of course you are. So that so that quote, though, do you agree with that quote that holiness is always tied to little gestures? Like, because he said it's like in the little things that we do. And I agree, it can be that, but like he never talks about like Jesus. Like, our holiness is tied to God himself. Like, we can't be holy on our own.
Yeah, so I would say no, that's not true because those gestures don't make you holy. Jesus
but
makes you holy.
But is yeah so but is our like holiness, so if he's talking about holiness in Christ, is it always tied to little gestures? Would you agree with that? So I don't know if he said Jesus before that. I'm just reading the quote that I found. So would you say that like holiness, like your holiness in Christ, is tied to the little things you do, the things you learn at home and the family?
I'm not saved by works. I'm saved by faith alone.
Yeah, but religion, I mean, like, faith without works is dead.
Yeah, so, but what if I can't? What if I come to Jesus now and you shoot me and I couldn't do anything?
So would the good things that you've done in life be
those are all trash God? Before? Those doesn't matter. They're like dirty rags.
Yeah, but so...
But are you saying, Chris, that I'm not going to the place up in the sky?
What are you talking about? I don't even know what that means. So
the place up in the sky.
Oh, heaven? Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that one. That's usually what people refer to it as.
So, yeah, I like...
Huh.
So that's what I think it is. I think holiness... Because that, like, when we think of, like, oh, holiness, like, oh, Jesus is holy because he went and died on the cross. Like, that's a big thing.
Yeah.
Right? But if you look at, like, the little things he did on a daily basis, like, healing people, that's a big thing, too.
Okay.
Just the moments, like, where he gets alone with God and prays.
Uh-huh.
Where Jesus, like, that was like a little thing. Like, he did that.
Yeah.
And, I mean, but even the people that he looks at, like, the people that everybody else looked over, like, he could have gone and just preached in the big synagogues and drawn a big crowd. But instead, like, he goes and, like, helps
the
down and out people.
Is Jesus holy because of the things he does, or because he's holy?
He does
because
the
things.
Can it be both? I mean, Jesus is holy.
Is he... Do the actions dictate his holiness, or does he and his holiness dictate the actions?
He and his holiness dictate the actions.
I know. I don't know how that plays into our conversation. I thought it might, but I'm starting to doubt.
So now you're wrong.
This is tough. It's like on the air. I got to think in the moment.
But yeah, Pope Francis attracted like 100,000 people. That's
yeah.
A lot of people.
He's actually probably... A lot of people, you're like, what? I mean, just the reaction. I mean, anybody, everybody loves him. I don't think he's got...
So, is he holy enough? Well, that's the thing. Like, he's the Pope, right? He's, like, in charge of, like, the Catholic faith. Like, in hundreds of thousands of people, it said, like, he was in Philadelphia speaking. It was over a mile away that people were lining up to hear him. That's crazy. Right?
Yeah.
Like, over a mile away, they had, like, TV set up. I don't attract that type of people. I mean, we have that many listeners. We have over like we have
over a mile's length of listeners in all directions.
Hundreds of thousands of listeners to our podcast. But I just found it interesting that like
people are that interested.
People are like super into him, but like a lot of people are saying he's the people's pope or something like that. So,
his message is not confrontational.
So he's more like inclusive.
I think so. He's like, he's talking on issues that everybody can get behind. Like, hey, we need to do something about poverty. I'm against poverty. You're against poverty. People in poverty are against it. You know? Or hey, we need to take care of the earth, right? I mean, now some people aren't super, like, they think it's, for climate change, right?
Oh, yeah.
But that sort of thing. So they're putting a spin on it, but I think he just cares.
Yeah.
So.
So he's not really controversial.
No, not yet.
Does he proclaim Jesus?
He's the Pope, of course.
He
proclaims Jesus. Okay. I don't know. He carries around a staff with a crucifix.
Oh, there you go.
But right, he must proclaim Jesus. I don't know. He might. I think he said maybe some stuff that people are like, why are you saying that? Are you changing? I'm actually reading an article right now.
Like this moment while you're supposed to be talking to the podcast? So... What are you reading an article about?
So I'm reading Pope says workers have human right to refuse same-sex marriage licenses. So that would be in line, right?
Yeah.
But he's just talking about human rights in the sense that, I don't know, he's talking broad.
Okay.
Do we have rights because we have rights? Or do we have rights, I mean, because somebody said it? Or do we have rights because... God says, hey, you know, I you have value.
You have, so, yeah, these unalienable rights.
I mean,
liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
Yeah, so like who does he attribute to the ultimate giver of rights? Is it just we've gotten together as people? I mean, if we're just a bunch of molecules, we've come up with that.
Made up our own rights.
Yeah, we've made it up. Or we've got a creator, and he's spoken to us, and he says, you have value because I knit you in your mother's womb, and so you have rights.
That's a good point. Friend Dan is one of the guys that likes the Pope. He listened to the show and made some comments. He likes our show. I was
good job. He's got good taste.
So here's what he said about us. He said, here are two guys that are a lot smarter than they let on, talking about a huge range of subjects.
Wow.
So
is that like a compliment or insult?
No, he's saying like we are really smart and we like on the show like
dumb.
We're goofy. Yeah, we act dumb.
You act dumb in real life, but you're way smarter once you get to know.
He said all of it pertains to your worldview and how you value and consider things through. So
awesome.
So thanks. And then he said some more stuff, but then he says, plus they argue about why meatloaf sounds delicious, but loaf meat is disgusting. You should listen to it.
I don't think meatloaf sounds... the one...
He said you should listen to it just for that.
Oh, so, okay. Which episode was that? Was that 25?
I don't even know.
Or 24? It's been a couple 24, back.
Yeah.
24.
We talked about why meatloaf, and then you switch it, loaf meat just sounds awful.
It does. It's all about the wording.
Can I have a loafed meat? There was another word that I thought of that you switched and it sounds weird. But Dan, thanks for listening. He also wrote in, he sent it, okay, so you can leave us a review on iTunes.
Yep.
So we really appreciate those because it helps.
Leave good reviews.
Yeah, it helps raise our, like when people search
helps
for it.
Helps the algorithm. It gets us out there. And so more people can have this awesome resource.
And so Dan sent in an email to podcastviewfinder@gmail.com like you can.
Ooh, awesome.
And he said this. So he was talking about like, because there was an episode where we talked about James Bond, how he... in the newest one, not the one that's coming out, but the one right before this one, like drank a certain brand of beer.
Yes.
And it was because he was a sellout.
Yes.
So Dan said, you thought the martini was the right and true James Bond. He's like, he said, I have a theory. He said, you thought the martini was the right and true James Bond drink. And now that he drinks beer, you think he sold out because he's drinking it because Heineken paid him. Oh, whoops.
Sorry. Okay.
He said, James Bond sellout. Truth is, he is always a sellout. You should look up why it was a martini in the first place. So I did. I couldn't find anything. I even looked at Wikipedia, the source of all false news, and I like looked up all the stuff, and I couldn't find why. So
wait, but one's a brand, one's a general drink. The martini's a general drink, so you can't be sold for that.
But the shaken, not stirred, it means there's vodka in it. So I wonder if there's like a certain brand of vodka originally that they were trying to sell. So that's why he did. Maybe. I don't know. So I don't know the answer to that.
So if you know, you can write in.
Yeah, and so Dan didn't tell us why. I tried to find it, so...
He doesn't know either. He's just throwing stuff
out. Yeah, maybe he said... and then, yeah, so thanks, Dan, for listening and for leaving us a review and for writing us an email. He did everything that we want in life to make
you
us
go. Hey, you guys can tag us. Hashtag us. You can do all sorts of things.
Hashtag right? Podcast Viewfinder. So, all right, so, James...
Yes.
What's going on in Florida this week?
Dude, it's crazy.
It's time for Florida Boy.
So Florida's crazy right now. This lady, she got arrested. I'm gonna punch you.
I can do that. This is great.
She got arrested.
This is the greatest story.
For riding a sea turtle.
Writing.
She was riding it.
She rode a sea turtle.
Yeah, she was riding a sea turtle. You know, like how you ride a horse. Illegal. Or gators, or lions, or bears. You can ride any other animal, but when it comes to sea turtles, I guess Florida says it's illegal.
So, I haven't watched this show in a while, or brought it up on the air, but there's a show called The Island with Bear Grylls. And in one episode, they caught a sea turtle, and they didn't mean to, and they like...
Do they kill it?
No, because he's like, they can't. It's illegal to.
What? Why?
They're endangered.
Are they really? No, they're not.
Well, oh, this lady got arrested. Nemo. It's a third degree felony. To injure, harm, harass, capture,
you're lying. Or attempt to it's capture. Not a what? I'm it's reading. Not a felony.
I'm reading right here on
you're
this
lying
article.
To me. There's no way.
Listen, according to the FWC, which I don't even know what that means. the Florida Fish and Wildlife Conservation. So it says it is a third degree felony to injure, harm, harass, capture, or attempt to capture any marine turtles, eggs, or nests. But I go with that show was off, that show wasn't on. But I think it's anywhere in the world, so I don't know. So, but they caught one on accident in a net because they put nets out to catch fish, and so they rescued this sea turtle, and they brought it up on the shore because it was like having trouble swimming. Like, they tried to put it out in the water and it wasn't swimming, and then the guy gave the sea turtle mouth to mouth, and it came back to life and swam away. It was the greatest thing ever. That show was fantastic.
Oh my goodness!
Even though you think it was fake. All right, it is fake. So this lady got arrested. She put it on.
It was on Instameter, Snapchat.
Okay. All right. So this show, sorry, we didn't tell what the show was about. The show is always about worldview. I mean, like how you view the world around you and like the things that happen in the world. We look at news, media, pop culture, all that stuff. So we probably haven't said this enough, but what you post on social media matters.
Yes.
Like that, like social media, I'd say more, it's getting to be one of the top things that students especially, but even adults, like shape their worldview around, like how they view themselves, especially. So they'll put stuff on social media because they think it's funny, they think it's cute, they think it's cool. Like, usually nobody takes terrible selfies. I did see one the other day. I won't talk about it though. But
oh my goodness, please don't talk about it.
Oh man,
inside joke.
Some people on my friends list take weird selfies. So, but one of the things that this girl took this picture. And put it out there. This was like June 3rd. So there's been like a warrant out for her arrest.
Isn't this crazy?
Yeah. No, July 3rd. So
what have the police been doing?
Yeah, they're like, hey.
Warrants. We don't actually do anything about this.
No, they've been looking for it. Like they've been, because people have been like trying to track this girl down since July 3rd. And they finally caught her. I don't understand. Like there's some incident around 5 a.m. and they found her. Like, I don't know if she was there at the incident, but... Whatever. So they found her and like went and looked and like, oh, there's a warrant out for her arrest for riding sea turtles. But the reason it like was really a big deal because she posted it on social media.
Yeah, they would never have caught her.
Yeah. So look, if you're gonna ride a sea turtle, just don't post it on social media.
This is crazy.
I was reading the articles like you can't even shine a flashlight at a sea turtle because it like will disturb their like nesting ritual that's like 2 hours long. Like just lay your eggs, cover them with some sand. If there's a flashlight, like who cares? And how to? So, I guess somebody did that. Like one of the like wildlife people are like, okay, look at the sea turtle. Oh, I shined a flashlight on it. It's like it ran away.
Explodes.
Yeah. So,
man. So if you get the urge to ride, go ride a horse.
Yeah, don't ride. So you can ride any other animal, but you can't ride a sea turtle, or you can't even shine a flashlight on a sea turtle.
Don't be that guy.
Can you imagine that? Like if that was like a human, like oh hey. There's Chris over there. Don't shine a flashlight on me. You'll get arrested. like you can get arrested for shining a flashlight
oh, man.
On a turtle. That is the weirdest, craziest thing. I don't know. All right, don't do that. Hey, I want to talk about this because I went to a conference this weekend, or actually this past week, the American Association of Christian Counseling, and I went to a thing that was talking about the brain. I found, like, so this guy talked about your, like, there's a part of your brain that forms your worldview.
Really?
Which I never knew that before. So I found it very interesting because I'm like, hey, because of that, like, this part of your brain, they found it's the anterior cingulate gyrus, the ACG. So it's involved in error and conflict detection process. It acts as a filter and is where schema resides. I don't know what the schema
is.
Sorry, I don't know what schema is. The ACG was found to be smaller in schizophrenic patients in the volume of white and gray matter because it was smaller because they didn't have that. So they're schizophrenic. So they like don't have.
I don't know what that means. Is it fine?
I got really smart at this conference. What? Schizophrenic, I don't know what it means either. But it means. It's not a good thing. So,
do you see things?
But it said schizophrenia. No, I don't know. Gosh, now I'm gonna have to look it up because I don't know. And I thought it was gonna happen. But listen, so it said this is where your worldview comes from. It's the core of who you are. So this part of your brain, like it develops, and as it develops, like you find stuff. So when something doesn't fit with your worldview, you dismiss it. So if somebody was to come in and be like, "Hey, James, Jesus isn't real. He got married," like Dan Brown said in the book The Da Vinci Code. You'd be like, you know what? No, because here's this evidence, and why? Because you have that core built into you. So there's things in there that, like, in your brain that aren't necessarily locked in core, and then there's the things that are. And so I was thinking about this because we talk a lot about media stuff on here, like movies and music and video games, which I've been playing The Taken King for Destiny. It's fantastic. But
is it?
I stayed up too late last night playing it. So there's things that come in and we're like, okay, I can take this in and it doesn't affect me.
Yeah.
Because you're like, you're not changing your worldview.
Yeah.
But over time it does, right? So your brain like forms grooves. If you do something over and over, it forms those pathways. And so when you hear something or when you see something, it just goes into that pathway. But that's why like learning is so hard for us because your brain has the pathway. When you learn something new, it has to form a new pathway. Right? So like that groove that you have developed. So that's why like when you try to learn something new, like it's harder.
Man, I didn't know that.
That's why my mom can't use an iPhone. Just kidding, Mom. She doesn't know how to listen to this. So.
She doesn't know what a podcast is.
Yeah. She's like, all right, what's that?
Man, what?
Why'd you get a cast?
Your like, no, sister podcast. Listens to it.
Yeah, she does.
You're so dead. She's going to...
Adrian, don't tell me. She's gonna rat you out and
get all your presents.
But that's why it's harder for like people to learn new stuff because like you have your set ways and all that. And so, but what like media does a lot of times. This is my own theory. I don't have anything to back this up. But right, like you take it in a little bit.
Yeah.
And it slowly like starts to change. You don't realize it's changing. Like, oh, I listen to that song for the beat. Like I don't know the words. Like whatever. And then you start singing it, and you immediately know those things. But it's forming. Your worldview. So your worldview is the thing that can't shake you. It's the core of who you are. But I think like those things can change over time. Like as you learn new stuff or something happens, it shatters
your
worldview.
You're just exposed over and over and over.
Yeah, to something. So I thought that was...
That is really interesting.
Yeah.
I wish I would have learned something new.
So I learned a lot about the brain. It was interesting. It was when he said, this class I was kind of falling asleep because it was really deep, and he said the words like schizophrenia. So
yeah, I don't know what that is.
What?
That guy's schizophrenia. Like, he shakes.
Yeah. So it was an interesting class because I was like, oh, this is why we have a worldview. So,
Right, thank God for that part of the brain.
Yeah. Okay. Now I'm gonna look up what schizophrenia is. So.
All right. Well, while you're looking that up,
it's time for.
Goes to Culture.
Goes to Culture. All right.
So, new movie this week. No one asked for, but it came out anyway. Hotel Transylvania 2.
Hotel Transylvania 2. I never saw the first one.
And then, lots of people were asking for this.
Were they?
I don't know.
Kung Fu Panda. I'm like, oh yeah, I want another one of those. I can't wait.
Yeah, 3. Come on.
Yeah, bring it. Kung Fu Panda 3. I don't know about Finding Dory. I'm a little worried about that one. But I mean, what's the other one? Incredibles 2? Like, yeah, bring it. I wanted to see those. But then Hotel Transylvania, like, what? Why is that? But it got number one at the box office.
So, money grab.
Okay, so schizophrenia is a chronic, severe, and disabling brain disorder that has affected people throughout history.
Well, that's good.
People with the disorder may hear voices other people don't hear. They may believe other people are reading their minds, controlling their thoughts, or plotting to harm them. They can terrify people with the illness and make them withdrawn or extremely agitated. Oh, Beautiful Mind. Did that guy have schizophrenia?
Does he?
I don't know.
Let's look it up.
So, this is when we do research on the show. So Dan's like, why didn't you research the thing? I'm like, we don't research.
What?
We just start talking and then we're like, oh, yeah. Okay. All right,
Yes, he does have schizophrenia.
Okay. All right. So, Hotel Transylvania 2. Gets schizophrenia. So it's about like monsters and
it's Dracula's daughter.
Is it?
Yeah.
No, I don't know what it's about. As I said, why would I research? I don't care about it.
Oh my goodness. I saw the first one. It wasn't too bad.
It looked funny. Great. It's Adam Sandler. I like him. He's funny at times.
But I mean, it's got a rotten review.
Yeah, it didn't do good. The number two was The Intern, which I'd never heard of this movie.
Again, no research.
And Robert De Niro. No, I looked it up and I read the review about it. I did read the review for Hotel Transylvania too on Plugged In. But yeah, so he talked about, because it's this guy that's like retired, his wife like that he's been married to his whole life died a couple years back, and so he's just trying to find like purpose and meaning in life. Like he's in his 70s.
Yeah. Wow.
And so it's got an interesting premise, and he goes to work for this company that's like a internet clothing company, so they're like, it's everybody's really young and hip and like all this stuff, and he shows up in a business suit.
Yeah.
And so, but it's like about him kind of teaching them the ways of
the old
business. Yeah. And they're kind of teaching him the ways of the new or whatever. But in it though, like the Plugged In people were like, it has a great premise and it has a great thing, but then like it flounders. It tries to be too politically correct. It tries to like include everything, and then it's like, then it just kind of, it becomes silly and not like it said it was on a good track, and then it just kind of derailed and like, wow. And it just kind of came mundane. So, that one, War Room, still doing pretty good. The main star of War Room came and prayed at the conference I was at last week. That was pretty cool. There's a lot of great speakers last week. Mike Huckabee was there, Matt Chandler, James McDonald. James Allen.
I was there, people, and it was great.
John Wartburg. People are like, I don't know any of those people. But I like them. They're good speakers. So
they're old.
John Hagee, talk about the Four Blood Moons. Did you watch the Blood Moon last night?
Yeah, so in the world.
We recorded this on Monday. But yeah, that moon was okay. So I went out there, like there was the eclipse.
Yes.
And so that was creepy in itself. But then like it turned, like the moon turns like red during the eclipse. So I was like, what? But then outside, okay, this is what was weird. So I'm just standing outside, and this werewolf,
it came out of nowhere.
I start feeling this like tingling sensation. The next thing I wake up, there's fur all over me.
And blood.
Blood everywhere. And the neighbor's dog's missing. So, no, but I'm outside, and there's just this like low rumble that sounds like thunder. Mm. Like, it could have been an airplane going by, but it lasted over 5 minutes. I was like, really? What? Like, and I went inside, and it was still going on. So I was like, what? I've never heard that noise before. I mean, I have, like, when a plane flies, you're like, we hear that. Or when it thunders. Because my daughter came outside, and she's like, it's thunder, there's thunder. Oh, it's storm. She hates thunder. She's like, freaking out. I was like, no, it's not thunder. And my wife's like, yeah, it's probably an airplane. I was like, it's not, like, unless it's, like, circling overhead, maybe. He's like, I don't know what's going on. But it was creepy in that moment, because it's dark out. There's, like, the red moon. I was scared out of my mind.
He didn't protect his family through his...
Yeah, I'm going to lock you guys out here. Fend for yourselves.
Good luck.
Just kidding. So, all right. War Room is still doing good. All right. Music. James Bieber.
Dropping
in the polls.
So, what happened?
So, he's... What do
yeah,
you
he's
mean?
Number two.
His song about what girls mean when they talk.
What do you mean? Yeah. So, what do you mean? Doublespeak? We talked about that already. Yeah. If you want to find out more about doublespeak, go back.
24. Because girls, and actually,
do you like me or do you like me?
See, yeah, my sister was on that episode. She explained what girls mean. So if you want to know, go listen to episode 24. Because We kind of we unpacked the secret of the universe.
Yeah, we did. So, and we sang a song. But Bieber.
What?
He's number two. So this is a new song, right? It dropped to three. It was number one. It started number one, dropped to three, now it's at number two.
So you think it should be up there longer?
Yeah, if it's... So this is... What about the Bieber power?
So this is according to the Hot 100. And so here's how they determine the Hot 100. So okay. it's radio airplay.
Okay.
Plus the sales data. sales data. Sales data.
Not sales data.
And then the streaming activity. So if it's like... Is it online like Spotify?
Yeah.
Spotify me.
I just got it on a loop.
The hills. So... Yeah, so that's how they determine the Hot 100 for the week. So Bieber, yeah, has a three, now two. But one song that's like kind of been at the top and then it keeps dropping and coming back up, it's The Hills by The Weeknd.
Yeah.
So they also have Can't Feel My Face that's popular. And it's been number one for a while too. So, okay, so I looked up the lyrics of The Hills because I don't know if I even know that song. This song is awful. If we talk about movies and music stuff on the show, like we're not endorsing it. We're not saying go listen to it. We may even say something's good. That doesn't mean you shouldn't go do the research for yourself. Plugged In is a great website to look at.
Right. So why is this so bad?
Okay. So I thought like, because we talk about like everything's promoting something, right?
Yeah.
Like everything promotes, like how do we... look at the world around us. So yes. So if I watch a movie, there's a reason the director made the movie. There's a reason the writer wrote the movie. There's some kind of message they're trying to get across. There's some kind of thing in that movie. And there may be things, multiple things in the movie that like promote a different worldview. So this song, I was just like, even the opening line is like, hey, your man's gone. And so I'm coming over to the house.
Yeah.
And like, and then like, this song is riddled with the F word. Like, so I'm not going to read, but this quote.
I'm glad you're going to censor that.
I'm going to bleep. No, I'm not even going to read those lines. But he says, hills have eyes. The hills have eyes. Who are you to judge? Who are you to judge? Hide your lies, girl. Hide your lies. Only you to trust. Only you. So the song is about him, like, having this fling with this girl. He doesn't, like, want love. He doesn't care about it. He's just, but he's like, who are you to judge? He's like, you can't judge me. Only God can judge me, right? Like, you can't judge me.
Yeah.
Yeah, so the song's about cheating. There's, like, a verse about drugs. About, like, he's like, yeah, I'm taking drugs like it's, like, caffeine or something. Or I don't know, something. The promiscuity. He talks about, like, other relationships that he had previous to this, like, going to her house. He's like, basically, I had some other people that I hung out with and did some things with. Like, right before I came over to your house.
Yeah.
And then, so it's just living for the moment.
For the pleasure.
So why is this number one? Why do you think this song out of all the songs, and I don't know that I've heard it. So if it's been on the radio, I may have heard it. So it may be catchy, I don't know. But I, like, the I Can't Feel My Face song, like, I don't think that's catchy. That song's just weird to me. But I can't feel my face when I'm with you. But I love it. So, have you heard this song? Have you?
No.
Okay. I don't know.
Because, no, I haven't. Christian.
Well, you don't listen to... I listen to pop radio, so I'm just to hear what's out there. But so I don't know that I've heard this. But the last two lines of this song.
Yeah.
What about love? What about love? It ends with that question. And so I don't know what... I don't know if he's saying, like, what about love? Like, who cares?
Yeah.
But is he saying, like, all this stuff... I've tried all this stuff... I'm trying like to find it in relationships. I'm trying to find it in drugs. I'm trying to find, but I'm not finding love anywhere. Like, I don't know if that's what it's about. Like, cause it's just interesting. That's the only time. There's another part in the song where he mentions love, but that like, it was just interesting that little part right there. He's like, well, what about love? Right? Like what?
Yeah.
So is he searching for love? Is he,
I don't know.
So that, but that's
the, so then he'd be like Solomon.
Yeah.
But in the sense of not necessarily, I mean, I guess Solomon wasn't looking for love, but
King Solomon was looking for purpose in life. Yeah.
Yeah. I tried all these things and I couldn't find it.
And so maybe he's looking for meaning. And that's what I think a lot of these songs are really about.
Yeah.
Like he's like, I'm doing all this stuff. And if he would have just ended it like, okay, the hills have eyes, who are you to judge me? All that stuff. That would have been like, to me, that would have been not okay.
Yeah.
But then when he asks this question, that changes the whole song, right? Because he's like, all right, now...
But does the end justify the means?
No, it doesn't. So,
still a terrible song.
Wait, is that what song?
It says still a terrible song.
Oh, yeah, yeah. There's, so it's not.
Chris has it on repeat. That's the real reason why it's number one. He's just got it cycling on all his Spotify accounts.
My mom accidentally does. It's on her phone and just playing. She's like, I keep hearing this song and it sounds like it's Cousin, but I don't know. She's like, it's got a good beat. I don't listen to the words. but yeah, so he said, okay, I can't read all these lines. But he says, drugs start to feel like it's decaf. Like, basically, like, I'm doing so many drugs, it feels like decaf coffee. Like, it does nothing to me. I'm just trying to live life for the moment. And all these, we'll just say people, want a real love.
Yeah.
So all these people want a real love. And, like, and so he's saying, like, I don't want you to feel me, to understand me. He's like, I just want this very base act.
Yeah, he's contrasting. They want love. He just wants the moment and the pleasure. He wants to feel more.
And he keeps saying, that's the real me. He ends, like, that's the chorus. Like, I've done all this stuff. He's like, this is just who I am. This is the real me. But then he ends, and he says, what about love? So I don't know the context. I have not watched the video. I won't watch the video if there is one with it. But, yeah, because based on the lyrics alone, I'm like, this is going nowhere good at all.
Yeah.
So, but he's saying, like, what? And this is where I think, like, a lot of movies get at this too. Like, there's like these people that are searching for something. They're searching, and we talked about that in the revenge movies a couple weeks ago. That was episode 24 as well. So it's that idea, right? Like, I'm trying to find peace in my life. I'm trying to find love. I'm trying to find significance, and so I search for it in drugs and promiscuity. And I'm gonna do this is me. I'm gonna. You can't judge me. I'm gonna live my life how I want to live my life. And so there's all this stuff in here, and then at the end he's saying, well, what about love? Like, how does this translate, right? Like, how does this translate to my life? Because maybe I'm not finding it in all these things. And that's why I like the end, that last question, because he's kind of saying, but maybe I haven't found it. Maybe this is me, but maybe it's really not me. Like, I'm trying to find this fulfillment. So I don't know, I like that. I appreciate that he's going to ask that question at the end of this song. That's very awful and based on just living it how I want to live my life. So but speaking of, like, stuff that maybe you're ashamed, I don't know.
Yeah.
Ashamed of. So, oh, and the Pope. Yeah, we're back to the Pope.
Yeah.
So Mark Wahlberg.
Mark.
He's like a huge Catholic guy.
Yeah.
Did you know that? So Mark Wahlberg.
I knew he was Catholic. I didn't know he was, like, huge Catholic.
Yeah, he gives, like, lots of money to the Catholic Church. He does a lot of stuff. So he is emceeing the World Meeting of Families event in Philadelphia, where the Pope was sitting on stage with him. So this 14-year-old boy sings the solo, and then he goes and hugs Mark Wahlberg, and then Mark Wahlberg says, that was truly the voice of an angel, but when he whispered in my ear that he loved the movie Ted, that's that movie that Mark Wahlberg's in with that talking teddy bear. Oh, it's for adults. I don't know. They made a second one. Because people wanted that too. He said, I told them that it's not appropriate for a boy of his age. And then he says, Holy Father, please forgive me. I've always hoped that the good Lord has a sense of humor when it comes and pertains to many of the movies that I've made. So, but he still makes movies that are, like, he just made Ted 2 recently, right?
Yeah.
I mean, he made the first one.
Yeah.
If he had a change of heart, he wouldn't have made the second one, right? Which I've heard was even worse. So,
well, maybe he just had the change of heart now. I mean, he doesn't see anything wrong with it if it's the appropriate age, maybe.
So I can do, yeah. So I can make inappropriate movies, and I just have to trust the parents that they're going to do their due diligence and not let kids that are 14 see this, right?
Yeah, and he's asked for forgiveness because these kids are watching it, but it's meant for, because he's talking about the humor. I hope he has a sense of humor.
The good Lord has a sense of humor when it comes to pertains to many of the movies that I've made. So, but I think he's saying, like, I hope he just laughs away these bad things I've done.
That's okay. Don't worry about it.
James, is a wise man once said, holiness is found in the small gestures. Yeah, but yeah. And how often do we do that, right? Like, well, and especially when it pertains, because there's games that I've played where I'm like, oh, I'm just murdering people, like, left and right.
But it's so good.
Yeah, like, there's no nudity. It's okay that I'm playing this game. Like, yeah, they might cuss a little bit. And we justify it. And we think, like,
it's not as bad.
God will overlook this, right? And, like, when it
everyone
comes
else
to
is doing it.
Our own disobedience towards God, Yeah, we just, I hope God just laughs it off. And so I can like be mad at him for saying this. Well, why would you make those movies? And why would you do all this stuff? And I look at my own life. I'm like, yeah, there's things that I do in my life that I'm like, nah, it's not that bad. It's okay.
At least I don't make the movies.
I don't do.
You know, so what does that mean?
What's what mean?
For you. Does that mean you're going to stop playing those games?
Is killing aliens bad? Because Destiny, you kill aliens.
I'm not really killing them. I'm laying them to rest.
And they respawn if I play the level again.
Yeah, they're not really dead. I know. I just like, I mean, it's, I'm just throwing little things at them really fast. This is knocking them out permanently.
Permanently, yeah. So, I don't know. I still justify it. Like, because even movies, like I base my watching of movies based on like sexual content. Like, if there is, like, I'm not going to watch it because that stuff affects me as a young man. I'm young. And then, right? But like, if there's like a lot of cussing, like, if there's like tons of cussing, I probably won't watch it because it just takes, it takes me out of the movie because I'm like, this is cuss so, word, yeah, cuss it's word. So bad. Like, why would you, you don't need to do that.
But hey, but if you keep doing that, your brain will set a new path and you'll get used to it. It won't be that big of a deal.
Right.
Because, I mean, I'm sure the first time you heard a cuss word, you're like, oh, I'm not going to watch that.
Yeah.
And then you got older, you're like, okay, it had one. And then
it had a couple. Two. Yeah.
And then, I mean, yeah.
And then I'm just,
you're
we had to edit this podcast so much because I like, just profanities. No. No, but that's the thing, right? What you put in the heart comes out.
Yeah.
Out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. So what are you filling your heart with? Because that's what's going to come out. And so, I don't know. So another person, Matt Damon. I always get, Matt Damon and...
Mark Wahlberg?
Mark Wahlberg. I don't know.
You do? Really?
Not really. Like, I look at him like, oh, that's
once,
that one guy.
One's born.
They're both named Matt, though. I mean, Mark. I mean, no, they have similar names.
No, they're not named the same. Totally different.
Matt and Mark are similar names.
Matt and Mark.
I know two twins that are named Matthew and Mark.
I know.
So Matt Damon, who's got a new movie coming out soon, The Martian. Excited about that?
I am, actually.
He
did say one cuss word.
He's in Jason Bourne. He said a cuss word in the trailer?
In the trailer, yeah. I said the S word.
Do they in the trailer?
Yeah. I'm going to...
Are they allowed to say that?
I'm going to science the S out of this.
Wait... Is it a restricted trailer?
It is in the trailer.
So, I forgot this. So, last week you talked about before the visit.
Yeah.
There's a Red Band trailer, yes. Which is, it means like it's for restricted audiences.
Yeah.
And so, my sister saw the movie. Like, she's the one that told me about it. And then you talked about it too. But she called the movie theater because we said we didn't know.
What'd they say? What'd they
do? The movie theater, so the preview package comes with the movie.
Oh.
So, nobody had screened it.
Huh.
So, like, because when she called and told me, they're like, oh, we didn't know that. We didn't realize that. So they said, we'll look into it. Because they're not, like, the movie company's not supposed to send those trailers with it. So,
ooh, scandal.
Yeah.
Moviegate.
So, M. Night Shyamalan made me banned from all movies.
About time.
I like that guy. So, anyway, so Matt Damon was talking about marriage. So, because he's good friends with Ben Affleck, his marriage is not doing so well. Yeah. Batflack, he's... Yeah, because he's going to be Batman, and you got to be able to get in that role. So he's like, I'm going to divorce my wife. It's part of, like, him getting into character. He'll remarry her afterwards. So, people, like, asked him to weigh in on marriage. And he says, like, I'm not going to give advice. Like, they're like, what would you say to Ben Affleck about his marriage? And he's like, I'm not going to say that. He's like, I'm not going to give anybody advice about relationships. But he did say this about his own matrimonial experience. I think marriage.
Is he married?
Yeah. I think marriage is insane. He said, it's a crazy idea, but I love being married to my wife. So I wouldn't tell anybody else about their relationship, but I'm lucky I found my wife. And I guess maybe if there's any secret, it's to feel lucky. So then he added, so much of it is out of your hands. I mean, I just had that conversation with my father this weekend. He says the same thing to me. Says it's God's grace is what he said, because you don't just get lucky. So he's saying, so that's interesting. His dad's like, hey, it's by God's grace that you're gonna, that you... get married and stay married. So, Jamie Lee Curtis. You know Jamie Lee Curtis?
Jamie Lee Curtis
lights the menorah.
Don't get divorced. It's a fascinating thing. I could write a book on marriage called Don't Leave.
Yeah, that's Jamie Lee Curtis said that.
Yeah.
So she says, she wrote a book on marriage called Don't Leave. And so that was her secret to staying married to fellow actor Christopher Guest for 31 years. They've stayed married.
Wow.
And so, and I look at people like Tom Hanks, like he stayed married for a long time and all this stuff.
I look at you.
I've been married for not 31 years. That's not even close.
Are you not shooting for 31 years?
Yeah, I am.
I guess stay married to your first wife.
I'm staying married to my first wife. Okay. But the reason, like, so the whole marriage thing and relationships in general, like, is crazy this time of year, right?
Yeah.
This time
Why?
Of year.
I don't really mean this time of year. I don't know.
This time of life right now, because the whole Supreme Court ruling on same-sex marriage, you got the whole Ashley Madison scandal.
Yeah.
That's a website where you go to cheat on your spouse.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to read the name because I don't want to promote gossip or whatever. But this guy, like a famous author.
Yeah.
Christian author that I really like his book. Like there's a book he wrote about apologetics that was really good. It's his son. Like went and like he got suspended from his ministry after his name was discovered on one of the lists because all the lists came out. And then another pastor... from First Southern Baptist Church, I won't say where, but he killed himself. He committed suicide after, and like I look at that, I'm like, what? Like, and even after the scandal, like where everybody's name came out, the owners of the site and whether this is true or not, they said like hundreds of thousands of new people signed up after this thing happened, and a bunch of them were women. You're like, what is going on? Like, if you're that unhappy in your marriage. Like, figure it out. Like spend that effort, like, working on your marriage. Because it's not always easy. Because I think...
Marriage is tough.
Yeah. And, I think people have this false view of what's going to happen as soon as you get married. Like, oh, yeah, we're just going to be best friends all the time. Everything's going to be great. And, like, just...
It's not perfect. You're not living with yourself anymore. You're living with somebody else. They're totally different. They got a different... It's like having kids.
Yeah. And one of the classes I went to, it was great. At the AACC, the... Christian Counseling Conference, like it was about parents and marriage. And he said a lot of times, like we forget that like our own spiritual journey is important. Yeah. Like that we, like when we become parents, we kind of like, oh, now we got to like pour our life into our kids, but we don't work on the marriage.
Yeah.
And so
that's good.
So he talked about, and this is what I really liked what he said. He said, he talked about four spiritual journeys. This guy's name was Ted Cunningham. He was excellent. He wasn't even supposed to speak. It was supposed to be another guy. But he like showed up and spoke in his place. But he said you have four personal journeys. You have your own, four spiritual journeys. Your own personal journey.
Yeah.
Then there's your spouse's spiritual journey.
Yeah.
Then you have your marriage spiritual journey. So you as a couple, what you do. And then if you have children, then your child's spiritual journey. Like you're responsible. Like, and you can't control your spouse's spiritual journey, but you can help them in that. Like, I mean, making sure, like, and that's something that... I think like dating couples today, and I know that you and your girlfriend like make a point to like include Christ in your relationship, and you're like checking up on each other, making sure you're having Bible studies together, but also on your own. And so I appreciate that because we forget that. We forget that like that relationship with Christ like is the most important relationship that you can have. So when we've got that right, then all the other relationships come into place. And so I look at these pastors that were on Ashley Madison, like apparently there were a bunch, and I think several committed suicide as a result of it. And you're like, dude, like it's hard, but you like, if your spiritual journey isn't right, then man, like that's not a good thing. Sorry, I do you have something to add to that? Go ahead.
It's not, but it's so easy to condemn these people. Like, your spiritual journey's not right.
Yeah.
But, like, yeah. I mean, obviously, they found themselves in a not healthy place because they're getting on the site and seeking something else besides Christ. But that's the battle. That's the struggle. That's why you're always on guard. And that's why you're always need to be supporting those around you in their walk with Christ.
Well, that's why I have to have accountability, because I know that it's easy for me to slip down a road where I'm like making choices, and that goes back to your worldview. Your brain, like your brain, is saying like, no, this isn't right, but then there's another part of your brain that's like, oh, and I mean, the Apostle Paul talks about it. Like, there's two natures at war within you. There's the Christ, if you're a follower of Jesus, and there's like the Christ nature, the new nature, but you're at war with the old nature, and so you can slip back into that if you're not careful.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Oh, I thought you were going to add something.
Sorry. No.
Okay. Okay. So this other lady spoke, and her, like, she said something that like changed my perspective on Christianity, and it was great. Like, so
his worldview is different now.
No, it did. Like, it changed.
So what'd she say?
Let me find. So her name is, what was her name? Diane Langberg. Like, she's like a counselor or whatever, a doctor. So she went, she took a trip to Auschwitz and like wrote about her experience, like visiting that place. Like, she wasn't there. She's old, but she's not that old. So, but she went to that place and then like talked about how Hitler, when he like first started, like basically was preaching a false gospel. Like, he talked about God. He talked about how he wanted to get rid of books and movies and things that didn't promote God and didn't promote stuff. And what they had done, like, they studied the people and knew, like, this is what they wanted to hear. Yeah. And so he said exactly what they wanted to hear to get them to, like, buy into his philosophies and stuff. And so when they got to the point where they're, like, mass murdering all these Jewish people, they're like, oh, no, this is for, like, God. Like, they were completely, I don't want to say brainwashed, but, like, he had tricked them into believing this stuff. And so she said this. She said Christendom. So she's talking about, like, church and church people and all that stuff. She said Christendom does not equal Christ. And so she just went through and was like, she said, we forget that. When we forget that, we think Christendom is a safe place. But she's like, no, Jesus talks about, like, there's going to be wolves in sheep's clothing. Like, there's going to be, like, I mean, even Judas was in their midst as a disciple. And we're like, oh, he's one of the disciples of Jesus. Of course he's not going to betray him. And then he does.
Yeah.
And so she's like, we can't expect the world to ever be Christ. And so, especially Christendom, she said, because there's always going to be people that are in it for the wrong reasons.
Yeah.
People that think they're Christian or pretend they're Christian and they're really just in it for personal gain or for money or to manipulate people or whatever. And so when she said that, I was like, oh, so, I mean, our church has been through a lot in the past 5 years, and there's been people that have left the church and left Christendom and said, I'm done with this. I'm done with Jesus, because if his followers are like this, then how can I trust this guy or whatever? And like, I don't believe it anymore or whatever. So when I got through this, I was like, man, that's where I think a lot of people end up falling, because they're like, Christendom does not equal Christ. So like the things like the church.
But they get caught up into that.
Yeah.
This isn't what it's supposed to be, Christendom, so I'm going to bail.
Yeah. And so, and so that like was very freeing to me, because I'm like, oh. And that was something I knew. Like, I know the church is going to mess up. I know people are going to mess up.
Yeah.
But then when I like looked at that, I was like, oh yeah, Jesus is Jesus, not the church. The church like is full of flaws. Like, you look at the Crusades and people going and doing things in the name of Christ that were not things of Christ.
Yeah.
And you look at all this stuff and you're like, no, that's people messing it up.
Yeah.
And then you've got Jesus, who we have to follow. No. Not only we don't have to, but I mean, that's what we need to look towards. That's who we need to look towards.
Yeah.
I say I have to follow him, because I do. I realize like he's the way, the truth, and the life. And so, I really appreciated what she had to say. And she said,
that's awesome. That was really good.
She said, Jesus is the only leader that did not rise, then fall. He fell, then he rose. Everybody's like, yeah. But it was a good point, because when we look at, like, the church and everything in it, like, we're like, oh, we expect our leaders, we expect the pastor, we expect our small group leaders, all those people to be a Christ, basically. And when they don't behave like Christ, when they do things wrong, then we're like, oh, my faith is shaken and all this stuff. She's like, no, if you're facing Christ, like, yeah, people are going to mess up and you're going to expect that of them. And that doesn't mean don't trust people. I'm not saying that. But it's saying, like, make sure your hope is in Christ alone. Yeah. So,
wow. That's good.
It was a good
conference. That is really good.
So, hey, we're done sort of early today, James. So
awesome.
I don't have anything else to say. Do you have anything to add?
No.
Hey, thanks for listening. Just leave us some feedback on iTunes. You can send us an email.
Yep.
At podcastviewfinder@gmail.com. So, James, thanks.
Hey, this is good.
This was a good discussion. So everybody should listen to this. Tell your friends. Share it on Facebook. If you listen to it, share it on
Twitter.
Facebook, Twitter. Because we need validation. All right. Thanks. We'll see you next time.
See you later.
Bye.
Magic.